round of applause, saints. Amen. Thank you, Lord. To sing that song, we are standing on holy ground. How many want to be standing on holy ground today? Amen. Not because of anything that we are, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. They're all around. So God knows them. this. I heard an old story. Amen. How many know that story is not just a story, it's the true literal life, not just in Bible days, but we are in the Bible days. Amen. Amen. I heard an old story. I Lord. And let Brother Cam and prepare himself to come, amen. How many just love reminiscing about what the Lord has done, amen, in your lives. Looking back and seeing over the years what he's done, what he's doing, most important right now. We just want to make sure that God is not just the God of the past, but he's the God of the present, amen. Amen.
Oh, Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. See all those. Dismiss you to your seats already. Yesterday at the wedding, I forgot to dismiss them to theirs. We had a wonderful time at the wedding, and by the grace of God, it was good to see things the way they went. And by the grace of God, it's good to come home. It's always nice to come home. For some reason, to drive there is always harder than to drive home. It's something about coming home, amen. But yet, anyway, this morning, it's good to see all those able to make it out. And we pray that you're in expectation, that you've already sung the songs of Zion to make your God feel welcome, to feel Him draw near to the presence, as far as to bring that presence in the church today. Amen. The presence of your husband. Amen. That's why we're here, to draw Him near. Amen. But anyway, we'll just sing a song by His grace, what we sung the other day, very quickly. Maybe not so quickly, we'll see. But we're going to sing that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee, Amen. Sister Hannah, I don't know if you remember what key I sung that in last time. We'll try to sing it that way again. Thank you.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine.
right now, Lord. More than ever before. More than ever before. But we'll love you more tomorrow, God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. You see that song that we just sung, when we sung it on Wednesday, you should be saying it just a little bit more than what you said it Wednesday. Amen. I love Jesus that much on Wednesday, but I love Him this much more today. Amen. I'll love Him that much more tomorrow and all the way until He takes me home. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I know time is far spent. I was going to sing another song, but by the grace of God, maybe we'll just get into the Word, and I'll just sing something else later. Amen. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word today. I'd like to continue with the thought that we were working with on Wednesday, kind of along the same lines, but kind of not. And by the grace of God, we pray that you'll be able to pick something up out of this and draw a little bit closer to God. And sure is a pleasure to know the author of this book, because when you know the author of this book, he can show you things that only he knows in this book. Amen. And by the grace of God, I don't really not preach anything new this morning. As far as some new far-out concept or some secret to the rapture, I believe we've already come upon the secret of this rapture. Amen? So by the grace of God, I'd like you to open up, if you could, to Isaiah 54, verse 4. And after that, we're going to go to Romans 7. If we had a title for this morning's sermon, we'd like to give it the title of The Second Husband. Amen? And if we'd like to give it a topic, we'd like to give it the topic of the death of the law. Amen? Praise God. So I pray just allow the Holy Spirit to have His way today. Just pull on to God. Don't pull on a preacher. Pull on God and you'll be all right. Amen? Because one thing for certain, this man don't know how to preach, but I know a God and He knows how to. Amen? So by the grace of God, Isaiah 54, verse 4. It says, "Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt no more, shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." Those are some of my favorite words in the whole Bible. For thy Maker is thine husband. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen. Sixth verse, it says, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God." And I love this. "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our precious, beautiful, most sacred, holy God, Lord Jesus, how we love you today, God. And Lord, realizing, God, that here we are, Lord, we've come, Lord, to your house this morning to gather, O God, not as individuals, but to gather as a body, Lord. A body believing as we look around the pews, God, which we soon will do, God, that we're not just sitting here being the only one to make a rapture, God, but Lord, we realize it's a body work and there are a people that are called and chosen. They believe this word. They love this word. They're holding on to every word, O God, as it is yea and amen. And so, Lord, this morning as we've drawn together, we pray, O God, as the congregation has brought their Holy Ghost, O God. Lord, the individual experiences that they have of You, God. And Lord, now that the licks of fire are coming, O God, together, we pray, God, that You'd come and speak to us, Lord. We have a need of Thee this morning, God. A need that You would come and feed us, God. That You would come bring us closer to this perfection, God. Oh God, give us the revelation, God, that will continue, Lord, to move us into this adoption, Lord. We just pray now, Lord, it's certainly, Lord, grant it to Thy servants, God, that, Lord, we might draw nearer to Thee, Lord. How we love You, God. Lord, I don't believe there's one honest Christian here that would be able to say, I'm satisfied with where I'm at with You, Lord. There's always greater depths to go, greater heights to go, Lord. We just ask God today, Lord, that would You take us to those greater places? Would You come and make love to us, God? Would You, Lord? Oh, God, look over, Lord, the transgressions that we hold so much, Lord, but Your Word speaks contrary to, Lord. We just ask, Lord, today, Lord, that You'd come and speak, Lord God. I'll do my best, God, to lose my mind right now. I pray the congregation, oh God, that they're just not listening to a pastor say a prayer, but oh God, the Holy Ghost within them, Lord, is drawing them up, Lord. And God, they're saying, Holy Ghost, speak through me, God. Speak to me, Lord. And God, as we all come under that same mindset, Lord, we realize that something great will be done today, Lord. We just ask, God, You give us strength, God. Lord, may we move aside from fatigue, O God, and tiredness of the morning, Lord, and move into this heavenly place You've called us to be today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. As we started today, we'd like to minister on the second husband today, the death of the law. And by the grace of God, I pray that you'll be able to receive of this. As we find ourselves in this day, in this hour, we're drawing near to something, amen? But yet, when we begin to look at where God has drawn us to, a lot of times we just don't see us or see ourselves in the place that we really want to be. And a lot of times when we begin to look at ourselves, we begin to see a failure. We begin to see something and say, oh God, how in the world could I make it? But yet when we look into the Word of God, we see that the Lord in His design, in His desire, He's calling for faith in this hour. And we realize that God was actually moving the church 2,000 years ago away from the law and moving them into the fulfillment of the law. Amen? As we realize that Christ come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, right? So He was the one that was to bring forth the fullness of the law in your lives. Amen? Because we realize that you weren't able to do it yourself, still aren't able to do it yourself, will never be able to do it yourself, but you will have to lean on the treasure, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. But yet, this morning, we'd like to work with this a little bit. And of course, the design, the purpose is to show you that your Maker is your husband. Amen. So now I'd like to start out today and by the grace of God, lay this down the best we can. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I pray you're in the receiving mode. Amen. Anybody bored yet? Anybody in a place to say, okay, I just come to church today? Or have you realized that you've come to meet the Maker today? You've come to commune with Him, to fellowship with this God. Amen. Because that's what separates this message. This message is not a sermon. This message is not a preacher. This message is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's come in what? He's come in the body form of the Word today. Amen? He's come to dwell with you, to know you, to commune with you, to be a real God so that you would not have to come to church and say, here it is, some common thing. But you could say that the God of all creation has come today to dwell with me. Amen. Now, notice if we could, I'd like to start out in Romans 7, verse 1, if we could. I'm going to jump around a little bit here. I pray that's all right, but it's kind of important. I believe in how we're going to do this here. If God would see it fit, He can take me wherever He wants. I don't care. Romans 7, verse 1, it says, now notice here what we're moving into. It says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Amen. So notice he's not talking to an outright heathen. He's not talking to someone who doesn't know anything. But yet he says, he's talking, of course, what, to the Jews in this aspect here. He says, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, to stop here and to maybe lay a little foundation, we realize that you, church, when the psalmist, when he would say that in Psalms 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me known to know wisdom. Amen? But notice, you are all born in sin, shapen in iniquity, right? You come forth to this world speaking lies, right? You literally come forth without a chance. Amen. Because when grace was forfeited by Adam, when that perfect life that God had given was forfeited by them moving into sin, it placed sin in dominion over you, right? So when every man, when they would be born after that, they would find themselves in a place that they were subject. They were tied in with the law. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Now you should be giving me some amens this morning, church, because you know firsthand by experience that you have been made subject to the laws of this flesh. Amen. Now, the laws of this flesh, what does it do? It makes you work contrary to the nature of God. It is the nature of the flesh you are given. That's why you do iniquity. That's why you lie, steal, cheat, lust, all these things, pride. You find yourself in that condition because you are born into it. But that's not a mystery to God. God knew that you were going to be born in it. God desired that you were born into it because His Word says it that way. Because God didn't want you to be dependent on yourself or any other man. This is about a love story. This is about a uniting between God and man. This is about a wedding that's soon to come. This is about a revelation that one church was to get a higher revelation than all the other churches. And how privileged you are today that you are the church to get that revelation. It should make you the happiest individual in this world. You're receiving a message no other age has. Even the disciples that live with the flesh word himself, they're not living the level of the word that you have. Oh, hallelujah. You think Jesus would say, it is expedient that I go away. Why would he say it was expedient to go away if he was the best thing to ever come? Because he being flesh with them couldn't compare to he being spirit born within them. It would put you on the full level of communion with God. Hallelujah. Oh, if only Jesus were here right now. Only if He was here in flesh, I could talk to Him. I could ask. And Jesus said it was expedient for Him to go. Because what you would have would be greater than that. And what? Just because you don't look at what God's design was, you're longing for something that was lesser than what God gave you. I've got the Holy Ghost. You have the greatest thing that God gave you. He called it the down payment of your inheritance. It's a proof that the eternal inheritance of your name being in the book is on its way to fulfillment in you. Was dwelling with the flesh of Jesus Christ a proof that they were on the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, no. Judas dwelt with that. Judas talked with him. Judas communed with him. But when you found Christ in this birth, that's when things really hit off. Amen. Now, notice here, of course, that the man was put into law, and he's subject to that law his whole life. In the Old Testament, we found that even by the death of bulls and goats, it would still take them to hell, right? But yet they were living a revelation of that hour, which when Jesus would come and become that sacrifice, they would get to go. Because they lived the shadow of it. But when the fulfillment of it came, it set everyone free. A lot of times, now do you realize it? They were living by a law. And that law still sent them to hell. They lived it a lot better than you did. Than you do. You have to understand the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is not to relay to you law. It is to relay to you grace. You say, brother, well, it reveals law to me. No, it doesn't reveal just the law. It reveals to you not the law. It reveals the nature. So that when the nature comes on you, you can know that you're living the nature because it lives the law. That's why you're not justified, because you can live it so perfect. You're justified because you see Him, the perfect one, living it out of you. That's why when you do something wrong, you don't say, I'm condemned. Because you should be able to look and say, it wasn't a law that justified me. But when you fall short, you realize you've allowed the nature of the Holy Ghost to get weak on you. And the nature isn't bringing forth of itself. Well, I ask you, church, what brings forth the wool on the lamb or the sheep? What it is, it's nature. What makes that lamb meek and quiet? What makes that lamb a follower? Because it is born a lamb. It naturally produces it because it was born that way. That lamb doesn't say, oh, wool's not coming forth. Let me get in the guidebook here and see if I'm living things right. It doesn't have to do that because God created it to be that way. It naturally lives that. So when you look at God's creation, only God transforms one unit of creation. And that is man himself. Every other animal lives what it is because God made it that way. But because man, the chief of his creation, fell by it. God gives man the choice to take on the original nature. Adam had the original nature. But he forfeited it. Which means everyone afterwards would have to be born under that. And in order to become back to the original, they would have to forfeit the natural. Hallelujah. Don't let me lose you here. Now let's move to 1 Corinthians 15:42. I'll try to move a little faster if I can. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Now notice, it's actually showing you here now two different natures. Resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. The nature of the law of the flesh, it puts you what? In corruption. But when the Spirit comes upon you, it brings you to incorruption. 43rd verse, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Do you need me to go into this a little more? There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. So notice, when you're born into this world, you are born in the first Adam. You're born a living soul. You're born into the same sin that Adam was. This too simple for us? Because we're message people. This is too easy. But if you can catch what's being said, notice, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So notice, if there's a first Adam, there was a first Eve. The first Eve fell because she what? She didn't stay with her husband and caused the forfeit. But notice, the second Eve would have to come and she would have to unite with the quickening spirit. But the quickening spirit could not fall. The quickening spirit was the fulfillment of law. But notice, you are born under the natural, but church, you have to move into the spiritual. Is the spiritual natural? If it's natural, we call it the natural spiritual. But it likens one to natural, and it places the second one as spiritual. So your focus needs to be on what? The natural or the spiritual? Spiritual. What's going to get you into this rapture? Well, because I can live this law so perfect. I'm in the message of the hour, you know. We got plenty of people walking around like that, and they live it a lot better than I do. But they ain't got an ounce of God on them. They know their quotes better. They know their scriptures better. Say, Brother Cam, I thought you knew more than that. I know nothing except for Him and Him crucified. I better stop. 46 verse. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man is of earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, I want you to understand, this is not just a type of a first and second Adam. This is actually also a type of you. First natural, then spiritual. Born natural, then spiritual. Sown in dishonor, raised in honor. Born incorruptible, raised in incorruption. It just depends which Adam you want. 48th verse, as is the earthy, such are they that are they also that are earthy. As is in the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. How many say, I got no problem bearing an image of the earthy? You ain't been able to conquer that thing yet? You've been in the message this long and you haven't conquered it yet? There must be something wrong with your experience. You're not much of a message believer then, are you? That's how they think. But when God looks at you, He looks for the blood tag. Do I need to go back to Wednesday church? He's looking for the blood tag. Because it was only the second Adam. Why do you think you got to receive the second Adam on the inside? Because God will look at the second Adam and look over the natural flesh that you're showing. But God can only look at the second Adam by the faith you're putting in that second Adam. If your faith is on the natural, God will look at the natural. And just like the book of Romans said, that all the law you live, God looks at it and it becomes debt. Debt? If you lean on the law, God will look at you through the law. Because the way that I'm taking this morning is to show you that the law is dead. Now let me read you something here. The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, 65:153, if you got that there, brother. Now notice this. I want you to catch this. Now, first I want to tell you that when he preached the invisible union of the bride and Christ, he actually started with Romans 7:1. He actually started with this portion of Scripture, and I want you to see why he's saying this. And at 153 it says, give me a second here. Uh-oh. That's the wrong quote. Sure is. That's okay. Let's go here. Invisible union of the bride of Christ, 35. I do have it. It was higher. Them iPads, I'll tell you, I don't know why they do them things like they do. Yesterday I put the rings on them. And, you know, I'm getting ready to do the ring ceremony, the vows of the people. And I had this great idea. I said, you know what? I got a table right here. I'll put the rings right up here. So I put the rings on here. And I go to grab them. And my screen starts moving all over the place. I'm just waiting for it, because if you know anything about these things, they're so touchy that if you press the wrong thing twice, your screen's going to disappear. So I started moving around, and the bride and the groom, they're looking at me. They're like, because they see my screen all over the place. I said, technology, don't fail me now. So I had to be very careful to pull the ring up. And the funny thing is, I pulled the wrong ring up, and I gave the groom the groom's ring. I said, put this on your wife. And he didn't notice until he went to put it on her finger. And he looked at me and said, that's the wrong one. I said, yes, it is. Notice here in the 35th, there it is. Paul here is giving an illustration in our scripture about the law and grace. Now pay attention to this. And illustrating it like marriage and divorce. This passage is very seldom preached on because it's more or less pertains to like marriage and divorce. But it also pertains to a greater portion of marriage and divorce. Notice this. Of how that he's trying to set in order here that we as a church can no more be married to the world and to Christ at the same time. And be legal and lawful about it than it can be for a woman to be living with a husband while she's got a living husband. And I have my own thoughts on that, and I believe that what the Bible says is the truth. Now, but I believe, also, it's to my belief, that it unfolds one of the great mysteries of prophecy. So here we are, just a few weeks before the prophet is took, we find your prophet preaching invisible union of the bride. And here we see that he bring out Romans 7. And he says there's a great mystery in here. And he said it was about law and grace. A lot of people read it and say, oh, that's about my theophany. or that's about my seat of election, or this is about that or that. But when your prophet said, he said it was a great prophecy or a great scripture concerning law and grace. And it just happened to be entitled The Invisible Union of the Bride and the Bridegroom. Now, don't lose where we were going here, if I can keep you holding on to that. But what I want you to see is that here we have something that specifically deals with where we're seated at. This didn't come in the early part, middle part of the ministry, but it came right at the very end. And it was very important for the church to see this. Amen. And it was all about law and grace. So notice here, if we can, I'm going to jump back into things. Now, remember what we just laid down. We just laid down the fact that what? That you were brought forth in natural. But the second Adam came to bring forth you by the quickening of the Spirit. So you would have to leave one to go on with the other. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Now, Romans 7, verse 2. It says here, it says, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Next verse, brother. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now notice in Romans 7:1, it started off by saying that a man is bound by that law as long as he lives. But then it takes a little turn, and it says that a woman, while her husband liveth, she's bound to that husband. And the only way to leave that husband is that he would have to die. Let's continue. Fourth verse. He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So now, he's saying, okay, that a woman, now, we should not be ignorant of these things. Notice it goes from the man being bound to law, but now it talks expressly about a woman that as long as her husband lives, she's bound to him. But now, we see Paul moving it in a different direction. He's talking now about a church. And how they have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. How? Wait a minute. I thought I got to live a law. Oh, we're getting quiet now. Brother, you saying I take that skirt off? No, no, no. That's the nature. It may be a law, but it's made to be lived through the nature. As long as you stick to the law, you're bound by the law. It actually shows that your first husband, which is what we're talking about in this fourth verse, if you're bound by the law, you are born into the law. It shows you are born into a husband. But there was a second husband, a second Adam. And so much the fact is, when the law, or when you are married to the second husband, the first husband become dead. 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 Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The law has to be alive. No. The nature will live the law. Amen. brother. Don't you realize when the prophet of God was in Africa that he'd be up there preaching, who wants to receive the Holy Ghost? And those women, naked, bare-chested, they were standing there and they cried out, said, we want him. And as soon as they received it, they covered themselves up. He must have preached the law to them. He was preaching the nature. And when the nature come upon them, it put forth a nature on them. Oh, you think, Brother Cam, he said, I gotta wear a skirt or I gotta have long hair. No, the Bible, the nature will bring it forth in you. Oh, so and so, they come to church or they do this or they do that. Not having a problem with the law, because the law dies when they come to the nature. They just need the nature. Right? I'll say, who's got the Holy Ghost? Woo! Who can live the law? Woo! But do you realize that's why one lived the law for you? So that he could, so what? The law could be seen on him. So that God could look at you and see Him. But it could only come by marriage. Now let's continue here. Still in the fourth verse it says, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So the second marriage, when your first husband dies, the second husband brings forth fruit of what he is. Oh boy, we're quiet today. Woo! Glory! Fifth verse. For when we were in the flesh, notice the motions of sins, which were by the law. So wait a minute. The flesh, the motions of sins, were by the law. So even when you didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even in a religious form, it was still flesh and motions of sins. Well, wait a minute. Do you realize the Pharisees and Sadducees lived it to the dot? But because they refused the second husband, there was no righteousness that could be granted to them. Even though they could live it better than everybody else. Hallelujah! Notice, it says, which were by the law did work in our members to bring fruit, forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. The law is the righteousness of God. But only God can live the righteousness of God. God forbid, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But the first husband that you are born into, he will live it perfectly, completely. But when the second husband comes by, you're a new creature. See, the problem is, you know, we look at the book of Acts and we see, oh my, they were the perfect Christians. They were absolutely perfect. But yet we bypass the fact that the Scripture says great grace was given to all of them. But Do you realize that? Who wrote that book? Men who are moved of the Holy Ghost. So even when the Holy Ghost looked at the Acts church, He could only write of the works which looked perfect. He even showed it in word form, church. When He sees you, you're spotless. When He sees you, you're without wrinkle. You say, I'm a sinner, but when God looks at you, He sees Jesus Christ. So the revelation moves down, and it looks at you as free, looks at you as clean. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Oh, really? Now, praise God, I haven't even been that long. You ready to close up shop yet? Now notice here, Invisible Union of Christ, 153, he says, so to be married to the second Adam, Christ, the Word, you must separate yourself by death from your first denominational husband. Because there isn't a one of them that can take all the Word of God. Do you realize that's moved into the message? Sure. It's always a church out of a church. Well, we're all one. Come on. You've heard it. I've heard it. I've had people come up to me, well, we all believe the same thing anyway. No, we don't. Well, brother, you're causing division. No, I believe the Bible. I'm not throwing them in the pit of hell. But I'm trusting that God is showing me the Word. I'm trusting that the Holy Ghost is preaching. And I'm not giving up on people, but I'm saying, church, you've got to see you're identified with this Word. You say, oh, they say God sent a prophet. I say, yes, but they believe they got two souls. Amen. You say, oh, they say God sent a prophet. Yes, and they believe that the prophet is coming back to be righteousness for them, to bring a move on them. And I'm looking, I'm saying the Holy Ghost was made to do a move on me. The move is on for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. It's your time. But just like that prophet left law and moved to grace, church, you've got to put yourself in the same shoes. Because the revelation of this message was to sow, just like we just got done preaching. It was to store up food for you in your season. Remember, and every time we see in the Scripture that the food had to be stored up, it was for a time of great famine. But that food was for the elect. It didn't matter how far away Jacob and his sons were. God brought a revelation that there was food down in Egypt. And there's a man named Joseph that was carrying that food. Said, oh, we'll starve to death. No, they went back to the Word. Just like your prophet said in 3rd Exodus, what? He said they didn't like Joseph because he was spiritual. That's the problem in this message. We don't want a spiritual Joseph. Even if you don't want him, even if you are taught by the people in this message that you don't want him, Jesus, if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, He will bring you back to a spiritual Joseph. Joseph was still spiritual. Gifts are for the church. Prophecy is for the church. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that just doesn't sit in a pew like a log. The type of Holy Ghost that speaks every service, not just in a pastor. you've got to take the revelation that Jesus,
amen,
He's here to give you the food.
Amen.
He's here to feed you with the food that was stored up. This message is not an intellectual message. The only intellectual thing about this message is Christ Himself. Well, I feel a little intellectual. The only way you can identify with that is if the Holy Ghost is all over you. Oh, brother, well, I've got this memorized and that memorized. Well, don't you realize that even Jesus told His children, He said, think not what to say in that hour. For the Holy Ghost, He will come on you and give you the words that they can't withstand. I'm in a battle. Hallelujah. But the battle's not mine. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. You say, God's thrown me in a lion's den. But there's a pillar of fire that was in that fire and that den. And just like the Spirit of God today, it all types to a moment that the church would get into such a place that the main man, the husband, would be the only one that could perform. You say, oh, I don't feel like I'm performing as the bride. Oh, hallelujah. You don't want to perform as the bride. You want the Holy Ghost. You want Jesus Christ to perform. Because He can make it look right. He can do it right. You just say, oh, well, I got to say the right things. I don't have to say nothing. All I got to do is be mouth. Oh, hallelujah. I had a message believer come up in here. He said, this squeeze coming. He said, I have exactly what I have ready to say for him. I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say that. And I don't care if they throw me in prison. I'm going to say it. And here it is. He's got it all figured out already. But God said He'd give it to you at that time. It just shows the nature of Vashti. I'm not condemning someone, but just showing you that if we're not careful, we'll begin to lean on what we are, what we know. Oh, hallelujah. I got scriptures memorized too. I've got quotes memorized. I even know pages. I know this message come from there. I know that year. But what is it? Do you realize that the position you need to be at adoption is not a position you're know-it-all, but you're know-it-nothing? That you are so yielded to Christ that the bride and the husband have become one. I speak a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The wife is so subject to the husband. Couldn't say nothing else. I had nothing else to say. I think of some of you bruisers sitting here. You know what? Somebody comes after your wife. I'm looking at my brother Paul, Amanda. Somebody comes up to Amanda. Paul's in speaking distance. Says, I don't like you. I'm going to beat you down to a pulp. Amanda's like, oh yeah? That all you got? She ain't going to say that. Especially if the fella looks like Brother Dave or Brother John is real big, you know? But Chris, you're not far off either. But she ain't going to look and say, bring it on. I got it. Think you can hang with me? First thing she's going to do is say, she's thinking in her head, I know my husband won't leave nor forsake me. I know he's right there. I know he's going to come by my side. I know he won't let one hair be harmed. Although I was put at odds where I didn't have a chance. You know, I'm married now. And my husband, he's got my back. Well, isn't that what we're coming down to? People of the message, is this what we're coming down to? The secret of the seventh seal isn't what you can know. It's who you know. The secret of this seventh seal is not theophanic substance. Potash, calcium. The secret of this theophany is realizing you've heard from it and it speaks of the Word being in you. But it just doesn't play some way out. It's showing a union has come forth. Isn't that amazing? That the Logos shows, let me say it right, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, however you like to say it, shows you your theophany. Wait a minute, I thought you were the Word too. Why does the baptism of the Holy Ghost show you not just that He's there, but it shows you what you are. But you, what you are is exactly what He is. Oh, I'm a sinner. I challenge your baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost will not point to you. Like I said, I'm not trying to do away with repentance and all these things. Because you know what? Shame on us if we just go live the world. You need to get back to the altar. You need to get that nature back where it needs to be. Almost like you've fallen a little from grace. But you can't get away from grace. You go crying back out for it. I love Jesus, don't you? So notice here, the denomination, there isn't one of them that can take all of the Word. Just show me where that one is at. Oh, you say mine. The other fellow says his too. Put them together and you find out that you're both wrong. Soon. As you denominate, read Revelation 17. So you see, you've got to be dead from that thing. Now notice, he's actually showing that being in a denomination is just like being in the world. They both bring forth death. Now, I'm not speaking to this local assembly. I'm speaking altogether across the nation. You must be dead to your first husband. If you're united to Christ and still married to a denomination, you're an adulteress. You are. You are in. You are Laodicea. You are Laodicea. Laodicea. Lukewarm. Spit out of the mouth. If we're not crying out for the right thing, we are Laodicea. If you're looking at the law, you are Laodicea. Now, let me tell you something real quick here. Notice. I'm going to read you one more. I'm going to try to move on. I'm going to try to close. That's going to take some time now, so just calm down. 2:12. Now it was nature associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Natural. You love the world because you are the world. Part of the world. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Your desires was by nature to love the world which you're a part of. You're a part of nature. You believe that? And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you will have to be born again. You will have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with him. Now notice this. You just can't say, well, I'll divorce him. And hang him up here till occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. See the problem? A lot of times we're in a former message thought, a former denominational thought, and you cannot allow that thing to live if you come to Christ. If it's not the Word, you're showing a sign of divorcement and not death. So when God laid it in His Word in Romans 7, He said a woman is bound to that husband until he dies. See a lot of the problem? Remember, this church wouldn't see a revival until all the creeds and dogmas got out of your system. Well, I went on my revival 10 years ago. What's going on? What's going on? Your life is to constantly bring forth persecution. Your life is constantly supposed to operate, not just the pastor's gift in this assembly. Oh, well, you're trying to get us to be like Corinthians. Right? That's what the message people tell you. You say, a mature believer, we've left Corinthians and moved to Ephesians. Ephesians didn't do away with Corinthians. Ephesians just had Corinthians in order. And the message at all isn't even showing Corinthians. But yet we're saying that we're at Ephesians. But Corinthians, at least they were allowing the spiritual to work. Oh, everyone had a psalm. Everyone had a revelation. Everyone had a tongue. Praise God. Well, at least they could get it into an Ephesians category. But we're in such a condition, the Holy Spirit says, speak. I ain't doing nothing. Start shouting. No, people look at me. Holy Spirit says, you're free. Go running. No, I can't do that. I'm in the message. That must not be of God. And the whole time, oh, I know. You feel a little Spirit of God moving on you, if we can get any in the message churches nowadays. And all of a sudden this utterance comes out and just says, let go. And you're like, but what's going to happen? I can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. That's got to be in order. Don't you think you got to go to Corinthians before you get to Ephesians anyway? How are you going to make something you don't understand, you don't know how to do, you've never really experienced, how are you going to make that come right to Ephesians? God didn't do it with Corinthians. How
Oh, Brother Cam, you're reasoning. I am? Well, how come your perfect Christian nature isn't bringing forth what it's supposed to? How come that's taking time? Well, I'll tell you what. I was born of God back there. And I've been perfect the whole time. And to be honest with you, if you were actually born of God, that's true. But when you say it like I just said it, you ain't showing that. You're showing some sort of arrogancy. How can you have arrogancy about a thing you didn't even do? That's why you're constantly looking for mercy. Constantly looking for grace. Why do you think the prophet called you Lady Grace? Lady Grace ain't some name out there. Lady Grace is what you are and the characteristic that you're known of. I'm Lady Know-It-All. You sure are. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Cam, I'm not good enough to let the Holy Ghost work. Why not? You got the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah, I do. I just don't know what the Holy... God don't control you at all? We are so estranged from Jesus Christ, we don't even know what He wants us to do all the time. If even part of the time. Well, I got to do this today, and I got to do that today, and I got to do this today. Well, yeah, the prophet had a plane to catch, and the Holy Ghost told him to go talk to this woman over here. And the thing that he needed to do, God made time so he would be on the right spot. Well, that was the prophet. No, that was an individual yielded to the Holy Ghost. Why do you think that God took the prophet? Well, that's why people are looking at return ministry. Because they believe that God could only do something through him. But when God took the prophet, he was showing that he could be preeminent in his people. Let's think about this. The people in Ephesus, they had a lion anointing. Well, Paul did. I know that. But didn't the people show forth that characteristic? Amen. Let me say it easier to you. What about the people in the ox age? This is an easy one. Was it just their messengers that lived the ox? No, but you actually find that the people lived the ox more than they did. I mean, people didn't even know nothing about the word. I'll die. I'll take that cross. And here we say, God sent an eagle. And we can't put together that the eagle was not just for the eagle, but all the people could have that eagle on them. Oh, we look in Daniel 70 weeks, and your prophet says, actually, it might have been the church age. He said, a special prophetic class. Class? I thought it was just a prophetic teacher. He said, prophetic class. We get in a church age book. He says it will take someone with prophetic insight to catch the revelation. Well, who's prophetic? Well, I don't feel like it. I don't think I am. That's your problem. You're not willing to move into the anointing of your day. But notice, if you move into the anointing of your day, you'll live up to that anointing. What's our problem? We're having a hard time flying, aren't we? We're having a hard time. Remember, the ego wants to fly above the storm. The ego wants to get the experience to put them up in the sky. They were able to see the Word in the way that it was meant to be. I ain't talking about a new word. I'm talking about making the highlights work in your life. Now notice this. I'll try to not be too much longer here. The problem is a lot of times that you can't love God and the things of the world. You can't have God and mammon. Right? Now you notice in the scripture you see Ananias and Sapphira. And we understand that what? They come to the Word. But notice that they sold land for a price. But when they come, supposing to be mated with the husband, they lied to the husband. They still were part of the world. So when Ananias come forth, lied to Peter. Peter said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. Your life is required. And down he goes. But notice that woman coming in, the wife. She come in not knowing her husband was dead. And she stuck to the old husband. And when she stuck to the old husband, it what? It elevated over what the Holy Ghost could do. So it required her as well. So remember, the individual who's not dead to the first husband, you can say you got Christ. You can say you got the Holy Ghost. But if that old husband is alive, it will be proved an adulterous experience and you will not be able to live the Word. Notice, when you look at Ruth, Ruth was given a husband. But she could not stay with that husband. There was an ordained husband for her. And notice, God took her old husband. But God gave her the desire for the God. Your God will be my God. And because of that, God, even with her dead husband, brought her to her new husband. But when God anointed Boaz, Boaz said, you've been faithful to what? To Naomi and her God. I'll redeem you. I'll bring it forth because your old husband is dead. It brought forth the proper union. Now, very quickly, if we could, 1 Samuel 25, verse 2. Maybe I'll just go through this very quickly. It says in the second verse, it says, there's a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. Now notice here, church, we find out that here God is moving upon a story here. And notice what's going on, that now David is in the wilderness. And notice there's a man also out there. But this man, he was churlish and evil. And he had a wife whose name was Abigail. And this woman was sticking with her husband. But notice, the man was great. He had many things. But it was not a blessing to his wife. Notice, in the wilderness, you see now that David is there. He's protecting Nabal's sheep. He's protecting, like I said, I'm going through this quickly here. But Nabal is what? Being protected by David and his men. But notice, it's come time for harvest. Come time to bring forth. And David is now requiring of Nabal, bring forth a blessing to me. Now remember, so what does Nabal do? You can read this on your own time. Nabal tells David, no, who are you? They're completely contrary to one another. They have no dealings together. And notice, Nabal says, who is David? David has no part with me. So notice, now David now says, okay, let's bring forth the men and bring the sword upon Nabal and all that he has. But within Nabal's possessions was a woman. And now, this man, death was coming upon him and his wife. But we see that though Nabal refused, because the law and David were contrary, the law and Christ were contrary, here we see that Abigail hears about the death that comes through Nabal. And she brings forth what she has. And she cries out to him. And says, I have brought forth, crying out for grace. And David said, the blood would have been shed on you. But you cried out for it. So now, what happens is, the scripture says that Abigail didn't tell her husband what she was doing. And when Abigail came back and let the husband know, he became a stone and he died. We have to leave the stony tables of the heart and move to the fleshy tables of the heart. But church, the old husband had to die. So what comes forth next is Nabal dies. And immediately Abigail goes to David. Leaves the dead husband and goes to Christ. Just run a little something by. I know we're tired. I know it's Brother Cam. Law and grace. Yes! But there is a grace that has come to you. But church, you've got to cry out because the law, that foolish husband of yours, is trying to cry out against your life. Because any man trying to attain that can't win. Any woman, child, anyone clinging on to that law has no chance at eternal life. But if she moves into the realm of Christ, if she cries out for grace, there's grace. But there's only one thing you can have. Now notice, Abigail did not. She didn't just divorce her husband and say, I'm running off. But God had to take her husband away. She had to be willing to leave the old husband. She didn't just stay there and say, okay, it's good enough. But she had to leave that place and go on with the Word Himself. Church, when you come to this message, it brought a revelation. Notice, when you come to it, you are free. But all of a sudden, we try to move ourselves back into the law. We try to hold on to it. I've been in this message for umpteen years, over 10 years. And I still find law trying to control me. I still find these things of the world trying to control me. But the law of Christ speaks of better things. What this did was bring grace to me. It brought freedom to me. Why are we allowing the law to dictate what Christ is to us? If the law is subject to death, well, the problem remains. We try to keep the law alive by false teaching. Oh, hallelujah. You know and I know it. You don't love God like you need to. You know you want Him more. How can you be the bride of Jesus Christ and be satisfied with where you're at with God? If there's more God, you know there's more God. And if there's more for you, you know there's more for you. How can you be satisfied unless you have the whole person Himself to you?
Amen.
And here, this message has severed, absolutely severed, the law to you. Remember, what we see as the written law, it only shows what the nature wants to live. And anything outside of that, when you fail that, it shows you need Jesus. When you start leaning towards that, well, I need to do this. I need more God. I need a rebirth. I need the Holy Ghost. More than what I had it last time. I need a refilling. I need a change. I need a renewing. But because we look at God placidly, we look at God like God is stale, we accept a stale relationship with God. Brother, that's not very nice. Isn't it true? I'm guilty. There's a greater move that God has for me. There's a greater move that God is getting ready to do in this bride right now. The stones will cry out. But they don't have to. Because there's a bride. They want to be lively stones. They want to be written epistles read of all men. They want to be used of God. The issue of this day that we're falling into now is how can we move into position? We look at a preacher, he's long-winded. We look at the preacher who doesn't preach long enough, he's not revelated. We try to judge everything but the thing that needs to be judged. Instead of crying out once more, we say, well, so-and-so needs to get more in line. So-and-so did this, or so-and-so, well, I'm not where I need to be because of so-and-so. problem isn't so-and-so. The problem isn't Jesus Christ. The problem isn't that the prophet's gone. The problem that we see now, it's all coming down to here. When will we put into action what God has revealed? How many feel like the new husband is in full existence within them? When we can look at the Word and see what the Word brought forth with a lower level of Word. Shouldn't we look at ourselves and say, God, there's more of God for me than what was there? Remember that quote your prophet said? He said, there'll come a day when you'll see things that you've never seen. You'll do things that you've never even heard done of. Well, how's that going to happen? When you're saying that's extra biblical. Remember, even your prophet said, he said, I believe that God can do things that aren't even written in Scripture because He's God. He will bring His Spirit to the challenge of the hour if the people are willing to get under that Spirit. So it comes down to where you want to be. Let's stand. When you look at yourself today, we should see the Holy Ghost. We should know that the Holy Ghost is there. No, let me tell you something, church. When you get into those great revival services, when you get in those places that the Holy Ghost is falling down and you feel the Spirit all over, all around you, and you feel the Holy Ghost all over you, do you ever think, oh, I wish I had the Holy Ghost? But you actually get into a comfort zone. You don't, in these moments, you don't get to a place you say, oh God, what do I got? I know I feel you all over me, and I feel peace bubbling out and joy all over. Am I a Christian, God? What am I? That's not even on your mind. I'm not telling you to focus on an emotion. But if we would allow the emotion to be with us a little bit more, if we'd allow the revelation of the truth of this Word to be upon us even more, we have hindered the movement of God. We, by creeds and dogmas, have stopped the Word from being the Word. When God says, I got so much more for you, God says, look, the combine's coming to start reaping now. We look and say, oh God, what about it? What about it? What about it? If you moved into the Holy Ghost that delivered the revelation of grace to you, revealed to you that you're free. I've got to have a sensation. We've talked about that now, haven't we? But we're always looking for some sort of an evidence. We're trying to find this or find that. That's okay to find some. We should find something. But just to see the Word upon us, the acceptance of that Word, knowing for a fact that you have nowhere else to go to, knowing for a fact that you can't live it, but you're looking by faith to what He has done. Knowing by a fact that the work is on for you, and that this Word will produce what it is. Knowing that you are out of condition. You need more of God. You need a touch from Him. What is a revival? When you're brought back to what you were meant to be. Yeah. It gets all the trash out because that's what the Holy Ghost does. So we look today, Brother Cam, I'm tired. Let's quit this service and go eat. That's our problem. We're just not hungry enough for the spiritual yet. We're still too hungry for the natural. But don't worry, this church will get in condition. It's coming. Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ will be in condition. You will cry out. You will desire it. You will allow what is in you to make manifest of what it is. Say, oh, it's got to be today. It can be today. But what if it isn't? Well, she has a lot of the problems sometimes. Well, I'll just wait till next time. I'll just wait till I get home. We don't realize. Yeah, Brother Cam had a wonderful message this morning. But what if that wasn't Brother Cam? You notice the difference between the fivefold ministry today and the fivefold ministry of Brother Branham's day? We listen to tapes. We hear people screaming. We listen to tapes. We see gifts operating. We hear on all these tapes discernment. Say, boy, what a time that was. When we don't realize who those screams were coming from, we don't realize what the prophet said the reason why his discernment could work was. We don't realize the whole time it was the laity that was moving there. It was the laity that were in a position that they could bring the Word of God to a full effect. We say, oh, Brother Cam, you got to do it. Brother Branham, even in some, he said, I'd like to thank the success of these meetings. He said, even to these two sisters down here, they've been praying and fasting for a whole week for this message, for these meetings. So the success of those meetings was coming down to a laity who believed that God could do something through them. Oh, I know. Everybody here fasted and prayed 7 days for this morning. God bless you. You did a great job. Most of us didn't even make it a Bible study. Most of us didn't even pray for a half hour. Even get ourselves into condition. The move is on for the bride. The bride. The move's on for the pastors. What's the issue in this message, nominal? Talking true believers. Is that the laity has been put into such a position that they don't realize that they're made to operate. Oh, don't get me wrong. I want to be gifted of God. I want to see God move through my ministry. I want to see God. But what about your ministry? Everybody happy being pew warmers? Everybody happy with just a couple amens? I just read you that quote. Brother Branham said, he said, while the songs are being sung, salvation should be ringing through the church. People should be getting saved right here. Me hiding back there. Amen. Azusa Street. What? The majority of miracles were happening while William Seymour was sitting over in the corner. Well, I ain't going to be able to do this. I was going to use that as a peach basket. I dumped that water all over my head. Boom. Sitting here just like this. Peach basket on his head. Everybody's looking. The song leaders are trying to look under that basket, seeing what's going on. And all the miracles are happening right out there. Miracles happen through William Seymour. But the vast number of miracles happen through the people who are out in the congregation. can only heal through the preacher. Shame on you. God can only speak through a pastor. Shame on you. God can only gift the fivefold. Shame on you. You are the body. Every joint supplies. You've allowed a law to constrain you to a thought of mind that you are nothing, that you're just watching the show instead of realizing that the show is right in you. Oh, Brother Cam's yelling and screaming. Well, what if you had that same anointing on the inside of you ringing out? Wouldn't you be doing the same thing? Do you realize that if you allowed the anointing to live out of you, today would be just like Solomon's day, where the minister couldn't even preach because the Holy Ghost was so strong here. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody was speaking in tongues or doing this and doing that. Well, that's not in order. You got to start somewhere. They start somewhere. Well, that's what the message people do. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to skip justification and sanctification. Oh, and I'll even skip the Holy Ghost and try to move into the completed level of the Holy Ghost. Anybody here don't need Luther? Nobody needs what the folks of that message was? Oh, I need justification. Oh, yes, I do. You know, there's like one quote. It says, well, we're different from what Pentecost was. Yep. So all the message people, well, we're going to run after that one. They sit there with a dead church. Sit there. Somebody gets an unction on them, says, speak in tongues. Ah, it's not in order. Nobody interpret it. Shut up. I say, somebody else going to get that fire up on them? This whole house should be ringing. I've got to do it. No! Somebody, God is trying to anoint the whole body. Brother Ken, you're a Pentecostal. Yes, I am. I have received an experience. But it's just not me. The whole body should have an experience. I've experienced how to let a gift of preaching operating. But what about your gift? What about what God wants to use you as? He wants to get you out of the way and make you do what He wants you to do. Are you happy with how much Jesus Christ you've seen in your life? Because if you're not, you're in a really good place. You love God? How many would like to say today, God, I've allowed myself to be constrained. Lord, I know that there's a greater purpose for my life. God, I know I'm not just a bench warmer or a pew warmer. You say, well, you got a cost to bow our heads. Why? My hands are up too. Can you be as guilty as me? But we sit here and we say, girl, if I could only be something. It's right. But we have to allow the Holy Ghost to get in the right spot and to allow that old husband to die. God, make spiritual Joseph live in me. God, Lord, I want to be so yielded, not just to the Word, but I want that Spirit, the truth and the Spirit to ring out of my vessel, God. Lord, I don't want just to depend on Brother Cam to do everything, but I know there's a spirit of prophecy that can work in this church. I know there's a gift of tongues that can work there. And God, Lord, even if it's not me, I want you to do something, God. But Lord, I want one thing, Lord. I want to be dead to this law. I want my old husband to be dead, Lord. And I want you to live. If that's your desire today, let's just say a prayer to God. It's not something deep or intellectual. It's just something simple that rings from the inside of you saying, God, I know I'm a part of this move, God. Lord, make me a part, Lord. Lord, baptize me with the Holy Ghost they had there, Lord, and bring me to a maturity. Let's pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you today, Lord. How we desire you, Lord. And we see your word is so perfect, Lord. But God, We've been moved into a creed that only a preacher can be emotional, that only a preacher can be yielded and let the Holy Ghost preach, and all these other things, Lord. But Lord, we've just been introduced to a creed of law that limits what God can do within us. God, I just ask today, oh God, this afternoon, Lord, that as we have the humble hearts here, Lord, we know there's a move for this bride. We know there's a power coming to the church. And God, you're looking for a people who the first husband has died. And the second husband, the quickening spirit, has taken residence. Lord, you know the questions many times that go through our mind, God. What we have and what we don't have and who we are and how we fail and all these things. God, I pray today, Lord, let us yield ourselves to that dead law, Lord. Let us yield ourselves that, God, you can't be God in us, but we're constrained by a law. God, you can be everything in us. And God, we ask right now, Lord, that, Lord, you, Lord, would come afresh in our hearts, Lord. That you, oh God, would conform our minds to the image of the heavenly, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, bring new creatures out, Lord. God, bring unctions, God. Bring strength, bring power. Bring the Spirit afresh, God. We know you got to start somewhere. We know you got to move somehow, Lord. We yield ourselves to you right now, Lord. Lord, we're asking, God, if we could just get in one accord, Lord. If we could just bring forth that same desire, Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. You know I'm a sin, this flesh, it falls so short of you, God. But Lord, I've accepted a sacrifice. I've accepted, oh God, a covering, Lord, a blood covering, Lord. And Lord, many times, Lord, I allow a law to live, Lord, but I know within the deep of my heart that it's not, Lord, that I haven't received something. It's just that I've allowed the love to die off. Lord, I'm coming back to my first works. God, I'm coming back to the place, God. Lord, would you give me more of you, Lord? Would you fill me afresh, God? Would you, oh God, bring a move in my life? Would you touch the church? Will you bring them to a condition, Lord? We know that people don't like it. We know that people don't want it, God. But we want it. We want a God that can move mountains within a church, Lord. Bring forth the body of Christ, Lord. We have need of you now, Lord. And Lord, I just ask now as every heart is sincere and desiring, Lord. You said, Lord, if we'd ask sincere, Lord, that you would give it to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, now, Lord, that you just move on our hearts, Lord, and give us those things that we desire for, Lord. Oh, God, I'm not too tired, Lord, to say I have a need, Lord. I pray, Lord, you just bring it upon us, Lord. Allow this flesh to die, Lord, and give us strength, Lord, now. Lord, we just pray you'd bring a fresh baptism, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. If you have need of prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you today. If you need to get right with God, I pray you know it, church. It's the Holy Ghost. He's trying to get you in condition. He's trying to reveal His Word to you. Let's let that old husband die. Let's not go back and cling to a dead body. Let's hold on to that word. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Need More of You. It's just the way it's got to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me.